from the cross, just before he died, one of the last things that Jesus gave to us is he gave to us, to you, to me, to his church, the gift of his mother. He gave us Mary to be our mother. And you know, like a lot of gifts that you receive in life, you receive a gift and you might not fully appreciate it. Not right away, maybe. But to receive a gift and to fully appreciate it. You know, I've known Mary for years. My family, they gave us kids the gift, even though completely unappreciated, when we were little, of praying the family rosary often in the living room or while we were doing dishes. You're a little kid, you don't really appreciate it at all. But it was a gift that our parents had given to us. And so I came to know Mary, to know her as a child. I came to even love her in terms of having like the affection of like a small child has for its mom, for its dad. A love for Mary. I've shared before, and it's kind of childlike, but it's, you know, it's me, it's what it is. I have a small little image of Our Lady Guadalupe, maybe about this big, and I'd always kept it on the side next to my bed. And then right before I go to bed, before I turn out the lights, it's Mary who's the last one that I see, so that if I die that night, hopefully she'll be the first one that I see in the afterlife, interceding for me there as she does here. And so to know Mary, I've known her, to love her, to have that affection of a child for her, but to really appreciate her as well, which is a little bit different of a thing. You know, a child can know their parents, they can love them, but usually it's not until they get to be a little bit more older and mature, maybe like in their mid to upper 20s. You guys know what it's like when they finally appreciate their parents, like they understand what their parents provided for them. And this is with Mary too, and that's really just been the last handful of years, coming to actually appreciate what it is that she does. What does Mary do? What she does within the church, within our lives, what she does within my priesthood. Mary, she always comes to us. She comes to us to bring us to him. And what she does in a particular way in Our Lady of Guadalupe, what she does is she softens our hearts and she helps them to trust him. This is what she does and the way in which she brings us to him. I want to speak just a little bit of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because you know that's the first time that Mary, she actually came to us. She came to us in the Americas in 1531. And you know, always the way that she does these things is she came to somebody who would be the most unlikely of any people. She came to a small little indigenous peasant man named Juan Diego. He had just converted to Catholicism just a few years before. But she appeared to him four different times. And she came the first time when Juan Diego saw her. As he was going by and atop this hill, Tepeyac Hill, he heard what he said was the most beautiful music and a light coming from there. And so he goes atop the hill, and it's there that he sees the most beautiful woman possible. And it's Mary. And she has, of all things, this strange request. She comes, and what does she ask for? She says, I want a church built right here. Okay. And you need to go ask the bishop for this. So this little peasant man goes to the bishop, and of course, what's the bishop like? Sure, I'm sure Mary came, and yep, we'll get right on it. No. And so Mary appears to him again after he's coming back that same day, saying to have perseverance in your requests. You'll go to him again. You'll ask him. He's going to say no, and he's going to ask for a sign. And it is then that I will provide a sign. And he will have a church built here. Happens exactly as she says. So she tells him, come back tomorrow morning, and I will provide the sign for you. That night, his uncle becomes very, very sick. And so Juan Diego, the next day, he knows he has an appointment with Mary, but his uncle's sick, and so he needs to go find a priest to come and anoint his uncle. So what he does is he goes around the hill. He, like, avoids Mary, because he has to go find a priest, right? And so he avoids Mary, but she comes to him in this different spot as he's going around the hill. She comes to him, and she says to him, little Juanito, little Juanito, listen and let it penetrate into your heart. Let it penetrate into your heart. Do not be troubled or weighed down by grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation. Do not fear any anxiety or pain. Am I not here? I who am your mother. Are you not under my shadow of protection? She told him, your uncle will be fine. He will be healed this day. But I want you to go up top the hill. And atop the Tepeyac Hill, even though it was mid-December, you're going to find Castilian roses, which would never grow that time of year. I want you to pick them and carry them to the bishop, present them before him, and this is the sign that he needs. So he goes with his tilma, right? His big old tilma. He's got to carry the roses somehow. And so he picks the roses, and he carries them. And when he arrives at the bishop, who's like, oh my gosh, what is this little guy back here again? But now he's got all these roses, and he takes the tilma, and he unfurls it. And all the roses fall down, but that's not what the bishop is looking at. Because now, upon this tilma, is the image that you see right over there of Our Lady. I could speak for well over an hour about it. But as you look at it, I just want to point out a couple things. The tilma itself was made of cactus fibers, agave fibers, which that disintegrates within 10, maybe 15 years at the max. And here, hundreds of years later, the tilma itself, made out of these cactus fibers, has not disintegrated at all. Mary appeared to Juan Diego, this indigenous man, not as an indigenous woman alone, but she appeared to him as a mixed race, a mezquita, half indigenous, half Spanish, half European, which everyone, if you were a mezquita or a mezquito, a mixed race, you were looked down upon as the lowliest, despised by both the Europeans and the natives. And so she comes to him as the lowest of the low, and she's pregnant as well, the black band around her waist, which the indigenous women would wear as a sign of pregnancy. Pregnancy within a couple weeks of giving birth, December 12th. Within her eyes, ophthalmologists over the last decades, they've studied her eyes, and within them is a reflection, as only an eye would reflect it, precisely, of 13 people, one of whom is, you can make out as a bishop, and another family that's there. And it's almost as if a snapshot was taken the moment that they saw the image upon Juan Diego's tilma. The stars in her mantle, which match exactly the constellations of the stars from that precise place on that precise night, the stars from heaven imprinted upon her mantle. And on, the image studied for hundreds of years now, it's not painted, it's not dyed, the image is just there. There's no paint strokes, there's no dyes that were used. The image is just imprinted upon this image, upon this tilma. But the most miraculous thing, you can go on with it, is the massive number of conversions. The millions in Mexico who were converted immediately after she came to them. But not just then. This place where the tilma is now, this shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, is the most visited sacred site in all of the Catholic world. And the conversions came not just in the immediate aftermath, but even today, people go there, and what happens? What does Mary do? People go there, and she softens their hearts, and she helps them to trust Him. To trust Him. I want to bring you there as pilgrims. As I mentioned last week, I'd love to be able to just pick the whole parish up, all of you, and bring you all there. And I know that's not possible for everyone. It's just not. But for some of you, it is. Mary comes to us to bring us to Him. For some of you, it is. And what she desires to do is not just to work in those who can go, but in the whole parish through those who are able to go. And so just some details. When, this coming January, the 5th through the 10th, we leave on a Monday, we're back on a Saturday. Where our primary destination is this church that Mary requested to be built, where the tilma is today, Our Lady of Guadalupe. But also in the days that we're there, we'll go to visit Blessed Miguel Pro, one of the Cristeros from 100 years ago of the Mexican Wars. Blessed Conchita. We'll go to the little town, one of the most beautiful towns in Mexico, Puebla, and different holy places there as well. Who will be going? Myself, Monsignor Richter at Queen of Peace, and then as well another priest. I didn't put him on the sign because none of you know him, but I've known him for 20 years. Father Matt Feist is a priest from Cincinnati. He and I were college roommates way back in the day. None of us had any plans, neither of us did, to become priests, and here we are. And so he'll be coming as well as one of the spiritual directors. As well, if it's a selling point for any of you, my mom called this week and she wants to come, and maybe even my dad. He's a solid maybe right now. We'll see. He wants to know how much walking there is. How? You received in the bulletin, if not, to grab a bulletin, or just to see the signs or the sheets that are at the entrance of the church. And there's a website you can go to that has all the information within it. The cost for the pilgrimage is about $3,500. A little lady caught me this week, and she said, oh, I'd love to go, but you know, I just can't right now. I'm just too old. But if you know anybody who wants to go and just can't because of the money or something, just let me know. I can't go, but I can maybe help someone else to go. And so if you're in either of those positions, to just let me know. There's no deadline, but the unofficial deadline that we're kind of aiming at is about Labor Day. Because the hope is that the pilgrimage itself will fill up sooner. It's being announced last weekend and this weekend here in Dickinson. And it's open to anybody, but here and at Queen of Peace, better get it. It might be Mary. She's telling you. So you don't have a choice now. But here's the deal. We're announcing it here in Dickinson these weekends. Next weekend, actually this end of this week, the Feast of the Assumption, is when Father Matt's going to announce it at his parish in Cincinnati. It's a huge parish. It's a couple of them too. And so The hope actually is once it's announced there that it'll fill up pretty quickly. But we wanted to give people in Dickinson a chance to be able to sign up and to think and to pray about it quickly before Cincinnati people come and they gobble up all the spots. So that's kind of what it looks like with that. But the last thing is why. Why are we going? Why the purpose of a pilgrimage? You can go and you can see lots of stuff in Mexico, all these things, but a pilgrimage is different. You go on a pilgrimage and you go together with other pilgrims because it's not just about a change of place. You're not just going to a new place, exciting place. It's about a change of person. It changes and it's meant to change something within you. Those who go, but also graces like this are contagious. When you come back, that it brings graces into our parish for those who would even want to go but can't, who can maybe be praying for us during that time but can't, but it comes back and those graces become contagious because Mary, she does something. She does something. She softens the heart and she helps us to trust him. Listen and let it penetrate into your heart. Do not be troubled or weighed down by grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation, any anxiety or pain. Am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow of protection? Our Lady of Guadalupe, our mother, pray for us.